Jammers.
Wait, what's the ship?
Jammers,
the Selfish Health Podcast. Holy shit, I'm Wendy Starling.
Hello.
I'm Megan Rice.
And?
Hey.
Stephen Penta.
Real stoked to be here.
Should we try to actually bring in guests and help people?
Ooh. I mean, like, it's selfish help.
Jammers. We made up a term. We can do whatever the fuck we want. You know what? I'm kind of glad about the not taking Ubers, because the last Uber that I took, and I did take one on my own credit card because I hit the discount. Should we talk about
it? I love that you're trying to spend this.
I did take an Uber to the gym last night only because I hit the...
Wait, now what happened? You were on the Uber train. The Uber train is off?
So, look, in case this fucking cunt is Googling me and listening to my shit, I'm no longer seeing the person that was giving me Ubers. Air quotes, air quotes, air quotes. I fucking am so mad. Anyway, I got to find it. I'll figure out a solution. If there's any... Look, it's a good... If there's anything I've learned from being in the Matrix, there's always a way.
You're really good at lying to yourself.
Yep. No, but the last Uber that I took, which was last night, but I paid for it myself. Because right before I was like, hey, we got to lay off the Ubers. I hit the discount where I get 50% off all my rides for 10 days. That's how many Ubers I was taking. And so to go to the gym, it was like $4.
Okay.
Which I'm like, that's worth it to not walk 25 minutes in the snow. Right. And the Uber driver, as I got in the car, I'm like, I'm going to the gym. He goes, what are you, a Capricorn? And he started talking to me about some bullshit. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, I hate this.
I know. And then he asked me questions. I felt like I was on You Made It Weird. Because I swear, we pull up to the destination. He goes, okay, last question. And he goes, first he was like, do you feel satisfied? Like with your soul? And I'm like, dude, I don't.
Oh, no. Is he trying to get you into Jesus?
No, he was Indian.
Oh,
not that Indian people don't believe in Jesus. Fucking
is this a new cash cab? Because it sounds like it totally sucks.
Yeah. Oh, it was. I'm like, I was waiting for lights to come on. Nothing did.
Didn't win anything. Just a terrible ride.
Yeah. The lights on the inside of you turned on, Wendy. And then before he let me out of the car, I swear to God, he did. I promise you, the doors were locked. He goes, before you get out, one last question. And I'm like, are you doing a podcast in your car? I asked him that. And he goes, no, people ask me that a lot. And I was like, yeah, no, that's not good.
That's
people
not good.
Ask you,
should
stop
doing that.
Right.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah. But his last question to me was, what do you think happens after we die? I swear to God. Oh. And I was like, you know what? I'm glad I'm taking the train with people smearing their shit all over the place.
Yeah. Where no one talks to each other.
Yeah, the train where everyone's quiet and polite and minds their business.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Polite.
Sounds more like an Uber pool story than an actual Uber story.
I know.
Well, I was just thinking, I'm like, wow, Wendy, this sounds like you are really dealing with something. You know who's also dealing with something?
Oh, God.
Our guest. Look at Steven with his transitions.
Author of Broken Banana, Ross Esdourian.
Hey, Ross. Now, hold on. Now, let's preface this for the listeners. Because a lot of times, and I don't know if you've ever listened to the show.
Every day. ¿Cómo estás?
Yes. See? Very good.
Oh, look at you.
Todo tiempo.
So this is...
That was too much. I'm only 18%.
Okay, my bad. Yeah. You're supposed to be at 20, by the way.
Now, if you say it while you look like a zombie, Megan will understand it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. Quick side note to that. I don't know if you guys saw, we got the craziest email and I'm going to post it, or it will be on Instagram by the time you listen to this.
Yeah, that's amazing.
This email about the French, the deeper you go in French, the crazy messages.
This made me so happy.
The crazy sentences. Let me pull this up. Katie Woodstock. Holy shit.
This is amazing.
So Katie, thank you for emailing us. It's on the Instagram. I'm sure you've already seen it by the time this came out, but thank you. And holy shit, Duolingo, between that and the zombie, that's some underground, like.
There are some subliminal messages.
I love it more now. Now I'm like, I can't wait to get real deep into it. And it tells me how I have to murder people.
Yeah.
This is intense.
Yeah. He has to die. Duolingo's got to be some kind of population control.
You can forsake everything.
Yeah. The sentences.
Is this some weird, like Christian cult?
The deeper you get into Duolingo, a van.
I mean, the developers have to have fun at some point.
Right.
Send us these sentences.
Okay. So Megan, this is the order we're going to read it in. We're going to popcorn read it because let's save the number one for last because it's
last?
Funny.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll read number two first. Here's one of the sentences that Katie sent us, the deeper she got into learning French. It's the phrase, we don't have a family anymore.
This is We'll read all of them. I think Duolingo is like owned by some creepy Los Angeles based cult, because they're all Los Angeles based.
Really sad. He's trying to he's trying to express himself.
Right. Like, no, this is, and then you join the Duolingo family.
When Sally doesn't have a family anymore.
Right. Okay.
Okay. This is my favorite one out of all three. You can forsake everything.
What?
I've never said that sentence in English.
Right. Right.
You could forsake everything.
I don't think I've read that sentence in English, even in the Bible, and it sounds biblical, but I think it says you should, or even Jesus was like, if you want to, if you feel like it, you can forsake everything, but no pressure.
Come hang out with me first. But...
Yeah, they just cut off the no pressure at the end of this sentence.
You know, this developer just put all of his wannabe band names into Duolingo.
I know. And this is my personal favorite. So my personal favorite is, let's say it together as a team, Megan. 1, 2, 3.
He has to die.
Wow. Definitely like a closeted French old sad guy. He's like,
yep.
I'm going to show them.
Somebody that I want to fuck for Uber rides. I got to find out who this man is.
You can forsake every. How often are you having to say the sentence, he has to die? I understand if you get really deep and it's like, he died.
Wait, did all of those three come in succession?
What happened to your grandpa? He died.
No, they said, I think they just pop up.
No, they're all just different. They're just random.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't
think. That'd be even better if that's the last lesson.
That'd be like the mental health chapter, the last.
Yeah.
Duolingo, are you okay?
Yeah.
Email us.
Oh, man. Katie Woodstock.
I know. Yeah. Katie,
let's hang out
sometime.
Thank you
so much for that email. That really.
Katie, you're killing it. Thank you so much.
You should call the support line and see what kind of support they offer.
Yeah. But so most of the episodes, what we do for the show is we either like we pick a very specific challenge and then we try to learn something, either add a good habit or take something out.
Yep.
And then we do it for a week and we come back and talk about it. But with self-help and trying to improve yourself, sometimes it's nice to just have like we had Petey Diabru on, and that was more of just like a general inspirational story. And so that's what we have for you listeners today.
Very
Ross?
Inspirational.
Oh, very inspirational. And you've got.
Oh, I did. I prepared for this by pulling my pussy again.
Oh, no, you did.
No, I didn't really. Oh, of course not,
Prove
Steven.
It.
I would never do that on purpose.
I pulled mine, but in a fun way last night.
Hey.
That's what I call jerking off.
Yep.
Pulling my pussy.
I got a big clit. So, Ross, tell us a little bit about your story, because Steven sent us the book, and we did not read it.
That's okay.
Of course not.
We started to.
And then I was exhausted.
Well, reading is hard. I don't know if you know this.
I do. It's very hard.
Did you listen to us just try to read? It wasn't great.
It didn't work very well, but that's why you're podcasting.
Exactly. Because we can just talk about things that we think about just in the moment. So what happened? So what's your deal? What happened to you? Tell us your story.
Yeah, sure. There I was having sex. When
paint a picture, paint a picture. Better picture.
Sorry.
There I was having sex. That's why we didn't finish reading your book.
But that was it. It's very short.
I read the book. It paints a very vivid picture.
So it was a dark and stormy night.
Kay.
There I was. It wasn't dark. It was actually
the year was 1942.
1942. So basically, I was having sex with this girl who I hadn't seen in a very long time. Living in New York, people come in and out of your life. So I hadn't seen her for 7 years. And she was in town. We hung out the night before, then went out on like a bit of a double date, went back to my spot in the East Village, having sex, very passionate, very fun, very
reminiscent.
And she
put teeth in her pussy and you didn't
know. She pulled out a knife and sliced it in half.
I hadn't seen her for 7 years.
Yeah. I think she's just very strong and just grabbed it with both hands and like snapped it in half like a twig.
And then yelled, ah!
She gave it the old the baseball snap, just home run, don't need this anymore.
For the past 7 years, she'd been just practicing Duolingo French and she showed up and she's like, you can forsake everything. Backed off my dick. And ran away with a cloak. Jesus, I did not see that coming.
The French way.
I know.
That is very French to break a person's penis.
So after a mild scene of Mortal Kombat fatality, it was happening doggy style. We were in, kind of the heat of the moment. And
what's her ass look like? I want measurements. What's this bitch look like?
She was attractive. She had, our friend nicknamed her Iron Pussy afterwards. But very attractive girl, very nice. There wasn't like any like sex swings or crazy stuff happening, which the doctor was very baffled by. He expected something
impressed.
Something really
much
crazy.
Weirder. He literally asked us both in the hospital separately, to verify the story, like the classic someone's lying, so you bring them in separately, like, right, which tire was flat.
Well, and I think you expect this, like, I think you expect this story when you're doing something, you know, really trying to turn it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, so basically it was just, you know, going in and out, and right as I thought that I was going in, pulled out, went back in, and just like hit basically in between like her ass and her vagina. And
it's called
pop.
A taint-ster.
How is she?
Taint
How
your
is
ass
she? Is what
balls.
I'm curious about.
Yeah. She's, did you, was she, that? Was she in as much, because I've pulled that maneuver similar, not as brutal.
Yeah.
But it was painful on both ends. Like it was,
like, oh, it
really, really,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Really.
No, she.
Now that's a pun I could get behind.
Hey, yeah. Licks the mic after that.
I took the train today. Give me a goddamn break.
Yeah, you know, she's in jail now, but at the time she was great. No, she's not. Just stop it. Stop it. So, what?
That's it. Why? That's completely believable.
Completely normal. Yeah. No. She was fine. Like there was no like accidental entrance on her part. It was literally just like hit a wall, and it was a freak accident. It was a combination of how hard I was and just like her getting tighter and just missed. So it was a pop.
We get it. She has a tight pussy. You got a big dick. Yeah. Great. I feel like I'm surrounded by Stevens.
Stop it.
That's why we invited him. I'm like, we're ganging up.
It's a combination of me good just luck. Like getting like sweet
I'm
pussy.
I'm so good.
It's just a combination.
Yeah, you know when like
storm.
The pussy's like so tight because your dick's so hard and so big.
Yeah. This is what makes this story so difficult to tell is because if you're going to be honest, it's very hard to be like, we were having good sex.
Right.
This thing happened. And I'd be like
you're going to shame me for having a big dick? You know, this is why I don't even like to go out on dates and have conversations.
My dick's too big.
Yeah. God. And I'm always getting shit from chicks. And I'm like, sorry that your pussy's not tight enough.
God, Mom, sorry my dick's so big.
God, yeah, Jesus.
Really wish you guys would stop shaming us.
Oh, Steven, don't get in on this big dick thing. Just because he's got a big dick doesn't mean you get a big dick, too.
There's a difference between having a big dick and being a big dick. Those are two very different things.
So, Roz, did you know that was it bad immediately?
Yes.
Like, did you? It was.
Yes.
Was it's, it bro? Like, was it? Did what, it take a sharp left? Like half of it took like a sharp turn.
Yeah. What happened?
This is Jammers. Like, it's gonna. It's we can get fucking super gross here.
Yeah.
Like, what actually happened?
So
yeah, we have a lot of teenage girl listeners. So yeah, get real gross.
Let it rip.
What a great first experience into what sex is like.
We'll have photos of his broken dick and his current dick on the
side
website.
By side. It's going to be a two truths and a lie.
A before and after.
No, I love this because this is one of those injuries that you're like, you hear about it, but you never hear about it from the person that it happened to. You're like, theoretically, I heard this thing could happen.
Like,
well,
but you never tricked that person into coming to your apartment where you're going to gang rape him and hold him down and do it again. You never get the chance. Yeah.
Wendy, the serial dick breaker. It's all a ruse.
It's all a ruse. So what happened was it's more, and I guess we should define what a dick break is, first of all, because you can say, well, you know, it's, you literally picture someone snapping something in half.
Yeah.
Like so, but that's, everyone's, well, it's a muscle, it can't break. So when you hear in, you know, in these magical myths of a broken penis, what they're usually referring to is a torn muscle, right? So your dick, my dick, all of our dicks,
right,
fill up
all
with
four of our dicks.
All four of our collective dicks in
our
one room,
rock hard,
pointing north,
dicks,
south, east, and west.
Right.
Have two.
We should do that later.
Yeah. Touch dick
down
to dick.
Instagram.
Dick compass.
They have basically two spongy tissues that fill up with blood. That's what gives you and me and you and all four of us erections. So when a break
the same
happens,
thing happens to your clits, girls.
Yes. Spongy tissues.
They're just
fill
tiny
up with blood.
Dicks.
Yeah, that's why your clit gets hard. I want the girls to not feel left out.
No, we can always
you can break your clit, ladies. Don't worry.
Yes.
Okay. So
yes, we can tear your labia too.
Keep describing how a dick gets hard, and I'm gonna try to not masturbate. Go. Yeah.
Same. So it's a muscular tear, right? You tear one of these basically spongy tissues. So I tore two of mine. I tore both of them. And what the real ringer was is that I severed my urethra, which is that's what all of us have.
Yeah.
And women, you have them too. It's what you pee out of.
Yes.
Sometimes.
That was for our teenage listeners who have not gone to health class yet.
Exactly. Right.
That's
exactly.
What you
and
pee
it's
out
all
of.
One hole.
And sometimes you people will fuck the urethra. I got into a weird porn thing and they put like a shoehorn in there.
Well, you can say electric stim is the, if you want to get rude.
Ooh, yeah, no thank really you. No,
yeah,
thank you.
I'm done with this part of the conversation.
That's about where
yeah.
I tap
into.
I stepped out. I just got superseded in the knowledge conversation.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's my world.
Yeah, you're walking in here with your broken dick thing and your big shit. Well, guess what? You got two real big pervs. One's very close to you.
Here comes the shoehorn.
Yep.
Comes
the shoehorn. Okay. So you severed your urethra?
Yeah.
Ha!
Hey-o! No.
Yeah. But so how painful was this in the moment? Was it because your picture, you're like, you break your dick, you're like, blood explosion. This is a nightmare.
He just needed some Advil and then he took a nap.
Yeah, exactly. It's so painful to read in the book. I'm like,
I'm gonna take a wild guess, and I know Steven's gonna ask how painful it was. I'm gonna take a guess and not ask and assert that it was a 12 out of 10.
It was a 12 out of 10. Yeah. Also, 12/10 is my mom's birthday. Shout out to her. Is that weird to bring in?
Happy birthday, Mom. Yeah. I like that. My parents are both 12/12, so Sagittarius parents.
Wow, shout out. And I'm 12/11. We should all get together and go north, south, east, and west.
We should all get together.
Break their decks.
Fuck our parents.
Hey, a shoehorn.
All right.
Man, this
fuck
is
fuck our parents'
this
urethra.
Is
okay,
crazier
so,
and crazier. One second.
Duh, it was incredibly
welcome
painful.
To the show, Ross. So yes, it was incredibly painful. But the truth is that actually wasn't the most painful part of all of it, because anyone who's been through like some sort of immediate pain or trauma is like you have such a crazy adrenaline rush that you go into survival mode, right? The most painful part for me
was trying to forage and store all those nuts and berries.
Was finishing fucking her. Right. I didn't come yet. It wasn't over.
Hey, you gotta finish. Oh, I always pause to make sure that all the jokes have been run. I don't want to be rude and mansplained in any of these moments. You know?
No, do it. No. We're big assholes. That's another reason. That's the real reason I said, have you ever listened to the show? Because I wanted to make sure, you know, we're going to talk shit to you the whole time.
No. It's great.
And over you a lot. Right.
It's great. It's great.
I love that you're also trying to not mansplain when we're asking you about your broken penis.
I know. Well,
I know.
That's tough times.
That's the level of sensitivity that we're at.
I know. And that's how you keep getting your dick broken on tight pussies, is by not mansplaining your dick to women, because they're just like, well, I guess I'll do whatever you want.
I'll break it. Sure.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, wherever you want to fuck. I
definitely don't want to inspire like an army of women that are seeking to have this experience now, like some bad, you're like, Mortal Kombat. Like a test your might. I know you're thinking about it.
I'm already thinking about it.
Yeah, we're...
The next question is going to be how painful it's going to be. How do you actually do it?
This is how you get jumped into the pussy fart gang. You have to break a dick.
Yeah, you have to break a dick. And how do you prove it is you have to have the urethra, the half of the broken part.
Holding it like a spine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wear a necklace. Dripping. You make a necklace
out
of it.
A
choker. You make a choker.
That's what it's the. So the choker. Nice. So the band is the urethra of the dicks you've broken, and then the medallion is the cat dick. That's the
yes. Oh, that's perfect.
Okay, so keep going. We're sorry. We're always like spitballing ideas for merch and things like that. I hate to get all like professional in the middle of the show.
The more we spitball, the better. And our numbers are perfect for it. So that's great. But tangentially back to the most painful part was actually, so I had a catheter in. And for those of you who would like an explanation of a catheter, it's basically when you can't pee, you get this tube in your urethra. Mine was through my penis. Some people get it through their stomach, into their stomach with a little balloon that when you drink, you don't have to actually exercise the muscle. So it just goes into a bag that's attached to your leg. So I got one in it when I was under, obviously, but then when I went for the check-in, I wasn't fully healed. So they pulled it out, which was pretty painful. It's basically like having a piece of rope being yanked out of you, not like a tampon rope, like a twine rope. And then
you dumb woman.
Yeah. I know you've had this experience.
I know. I can see. He looked right at me and he's just like, not like a tampon. Nice try, bitch.
Nice try. I saw the Popeye wind up. I was like, do I pause? Do I step and let the train go by for a second?
Yeah. He's like, relax. You fucking, we get it. You have cramps.
Anyway, the more painful part.
So like anal beads?
So the more painful part was the cathing.
Well, it was when they had to put the catheter back in.
Right.
Oh. So I wasn't fully healed. And the doctor gave me the slow pause and was like, we're going to have to go back in. And when they put it back in, it's actually a different type of catheter. And if getting it pulled out was like the rope getting it put back in was like someone putting a flamethrower in my penis and just pulling the trigger.
Oh my God.
My pussy just did that thing where it like went inside itself.
It's a kegel. I feel for you. My father's a paraplegic, and so he has the cath, you know, my whole life. I'm pretty used to the cath conversation. Yeah, and jokes in my house. Yeah. Like, it's pretty right.
It's pretty,
right,
the pretty the bag jokes.
Yeah. It's one of those things that you get used to, and then you're just joking about all the time. It's like, you have to deal with it.
Well, it is usually reserved for people a little older.
I was going to say, I'm going to Turks and Caicos with someone of a certain age. I'm very familiar with the catheter. Why do you think I'm so mad about taking the train?
Taking the train.
So was there blood?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was blood. But
okay, that turned you on. That yeah, big was time. Weird. You got real.
I got closer to
you got a real sexy voice.
Dropped into
there.
A lower register.
Yeah. So,
but it's not like an external wound. It was basically the blood that was already in my dick shot out of it. Ooh. Because that's basically that discharge. I basically came blood per se. It discharged in a very quick
now
shot.
Now that made me feel horny.
Yeah. You into it?
The I thought of coming blood. That may, I don't know why that made my pussy
light up. You remember the time I made Preston come blood? And
no.
I was so excited
what?
About it.
Wait, what?
Yeah. What?
Is Preston your dog?
No.
Preston. Yes. Preston's my dog that I fuck.
I just got turned on.
Gotta be honest. No, I wasn't sure about you. And now I like you. I was like, this
little,
fucking
guy. He had a little blood when he came. Blood came out.
Cool.
And then we found out because we were like, ah. And then we looked it up, and you can have such an intense orgasm that like a little capillary bursts.
Yeah, from your
so
balls.
So I'm that good at fucking.
But like, did you see a doctor?
You know
too?
What? Yeah. I believe you can break his dick. I believe in you.
I believe I could do. I'm gonna guys.
Here's to you.
Pause.
Isn't that
He's
the thing you work
asleep.
On for the
I'm
next
gonna
week?
Wake him up real quick.
Yeah, that's the challenge that's for the challenge. Next week. We didn't think we'd have a challenge, but apparently we do because Megan's a ringer.
Yeah, literally.
So okay. So wait a minute. Yeah. So when it actually happens, so you bang into her chains,
right?
And then what's the next thing?
So then literally there was just a pop, like an audible pop. And then I in like what I can only describe as like a slow motion anime death scene, kind of like frame by frame, kind of keeled over. I can't make this up. Yeah. Blood literally like shot up in like a spray, like sheets and wall. And then I kind of just keeled over on the foot of the bed like a dog and just kind of laid there for a second. And she kind of was still on all fours because she doesn't know what's happened. And I kind of just let out this like, oh no. Like I knew, I didn't know how bad it was.
But you knew
something bad had happened. And I went into this like literally survival protocol. I kind of like rolled up, flipped the lights on, and I just went straight into calling 911. I looked at her and I was like, I think I broke my penis. And she was just like, what?
And she laughed, which is the appropriate natural response.
Right.
Well, I mean,
like, no, you didn't. Shut up, dummy.
I mean, first of all, in any of these, people are like, well, how does she respond? Like, how are you supposed to respond?
She looks around and she sees blood and she's like, you silly idiot. You just started your period.
Yeah, welcome to the club. I knew I liked you.
Let me woman-splain this to you.
One
you got
of
blood
us.
Coming.
But especially because it's a one-night stand. I mean, like, it reminds me of when you're in a taxi cab and they get into an accident and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the nice thing, as the doctor said to me, he goes, you basically had the best outcome for the worst possible scenario. And that was kind of true over a lot of things. And it wasn't really, I mean, it was a one night stand per se, but again, I knew this girl, we had hooked up before. So, you know, she came to the hospital with me, like was super sweet. Was telling me she'd marry me and all those things. I was like, but would you though, if I walked out of this a woman, would you though?
Yeah.
But she was super sweet. And I think that, you know, when you're going through shit, it's always nice, no matter what, right? They don't have to be the closest person to you to have someone that you can just be like,
propose to you.
Yeah, of course. Getting proposed to is nice. And even if it's on the streets,
yeah, it's very nice. I'm like,
although
oh,
findable in France now. So you got to be careful.
I know. What?
Yeah, you can get a $400 fine now for catcalling people in France.
Really?
Yeah, it's not official law, but it's up. It's being put into the house.
And you get a $400.
Is that what all those French ladies were mad about like 2 months ago? They wrote that open letter.
No, that's totally different.
That's once you get to 40% proficiency, then you can read the letter.
You get a $400 fine for catcalling?
Yeah.
But how am I going to know my tits? You look mad about this.
Or you're like, wait, they're stifling my freedom of speech.
I just think it's fucking stupid.
I think it's idiotic.
I think it's idiotic. I'm sorry.
How am I going to know if my tits look good unless someone yells it at me on the street?
And what if someone just goes, what if someone's like, because I had the other night. How do you? I'm going to Turks and Caicos. This guy that I've been dating, not from the website, just a regular person.
Nice guy.
I sat down next to him at the bar. He wasn't catcalling, but he was like, I sat down, and how would I have known? He was just like, I said something about like, oh, it's beautiful outside. And he was like, oh, I think it's beautiful in here. And he looked at me like, and a lot of women would be like, I'm offended.
No, but that's a different flirtation.
We're talking like construction worker eating an Arby's sandwich, being like, hey,
I think there's an abrasive public.
Yeah, that's how I want it. That's how I want my compliment.
With a roast beef sandwich.
Yeah. I want it spit at me through like meats flying out of somebody's mouth.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that is a bit obscene.
I don't know how to feel about that, honestly. I mean, I'm kind of, well, you know what? We'll see. We'll see. Yeah,
What if someone has Tourette's and they are working on a construction site?
Be a very specific.
I think the bigger conversation that's happening is like when we're all talking about like, hey, catcalling is shitty. Then for like those handful of people that just don't get it, that are oblivious walking around the world, if that sinks in and they're like, hey, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know. That
I think it's probably not the worst thing. It's going to be something like I think it's good to have in the atmosphere. It's like, hey, just be conscious
just don't
of
do
it.
This.
Just be kind of like, even if it doesn't pass, just to have it out there. It's like jaywalking. Yeah. People are going to get tickets for jaywalking. You should just look before you cross the street. Like, be smart about it.
Yeah, and
I think instead of making like this stupid law, the people should just like, I don't know, believe women more and not question them when they're like sexually assaulted. I think that's a better way to prevent things than like giving some dude a $500 fine because he screamed, marry me, or hey, I bet that pussy looks sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which again, thank you. I appreciate you,
hey, beautiful. You look beautiful today. I got to tell you, and I'm not like, I know they're like bits about it, but for me, I'm like, that like makes me feel, that does not irritate me.
No, it makes me feel nice.
Yeah, I hear you.
But is it better to err on the side of caution than to do it to everyone? And then
I don't think you lose anything by not having that happen.
Yeah. I think charging somebody that money. Well, and this is going to sound, and again, and we'll get back to the topic. And I,
sorry, this was my fault.
No, this is,
I took the left turn.
We really broke the dick on this.
Hey-o.
Hello. No, but here's something, because there's a comic out here in New York, Nico White, who's very funny, and I want to get a recording of, he's working on this bit. He's a black comic, and he has this bit, and I lost my mind, and I was like standing up clapping. He talked about the catcalling thing, and he's like, because you know who's mad about catcalling? It's essentially the premise is it's white women, and not to sound shitty, but it's like uppity, prissy white women who are offended by it. He said, because catcalling started. He's like, it's a hood thing. And it's like, and it's not for you guys. And it's not about that. And he did this whole, and it's this really hilarious bit about like the origins of catcalling.
Yeah.
And I don't know the bit, so I'm not going to like try to repeat it, but that's the premise of it.
Yeah.
And it's something that is like, I've heard other black and like essentially comics that are not white have the same premise, male and female. Through it's starting to happen where they're like, this is not for white people. This is like a couple of white women being like, there's a brown guy talking to me. And that's how it comes up. Cause that's, and it sounds shitty, but that is how it is perceived. And if you like, it's like a classist thing. And so I understand where it's like, it makes people feel uncomfortable, but then also in other parts of it, like the origin of catcalling is not always just construction workers yelling.
Yeah.
So that's how it comes off to a lot of people when they get really kind of shitty about it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think the fining thing is crazy. That's personally for me. And Nico Way, I'm going to get, and he's working on the bit. So, I mean, go see him if you're in New York, but it's a great bit. And I never thought of it that way. Yeah. And I was like,
it's a very valid point. I mean, everyone has their own perspective based on their reality. So, and a lot of people, especially that have the mainstream media, are pushing that. And, you know, the patience to learn the background and the cultures of other people, you know, pros and cons.
And I think what we're finding now is like, we're figuring out the lines of like, okay, well, what's rude, what's illegal, what's, and we're having these conversations. And that's important because when you talk about something like revenge porn or something like that, like clearly like those are laws that make sense to a certain degree, you know, like if you give someone a nude in confidence, that should stay in confidence. Yeah. And it's not just a courtesy thing. It's like, no, that's a fucked up thing to
do to someone. But that's different than telling people
absolutely
what they can and can't say.
And so what we're figuring out is like, okay, so maybe this isn't something illegal, but it's shitty in this context, but it's also understanding the cultural ramifications of it. Whereas it's different with individual people. And it's the same thing as flirting. It's like what will work with one person won't work with someone else. And it's just about learning that and feeling that out. And we never discuss that kind of nuance, which is something I've been thinking about.
That's why it's not a law. You can't make a law.
It's a cultural thing that we just need to learn.
And especially if it, and then they're doing that in France. So it's like, so in France, like, you know what? I think Duolingo, I think they got a bigger hold on society than we really.
You get to the next level.
They're like, okay, so if you tell someone they got a sweet ass, we're going to fine you $400.
Or maybe that's like a bonus pack you have to pay for is like a catcalling in French.
But if you threaten someone's life on the street, you get a $400 credit on your taxes. Yes. We give you money. If you forsake everything and murder somebody, you get a cash prize.
It's all a ruse by Duolingo to teach more French phrases.
I'm telling you, it's population control, because if there's no catcalling, then there's less procreation. And
there's
fucking. Say, there's less fucking and there's more killing and forsaking. Wow. I'm hip to this fucking
operation. I want
to
see the Duolingo for Mandarin. That must be some really crazy stuff.
Leave the baby in the river.
Place the baby in the river.
It's a good, great
push down
on
the
that
baby's
one.
Head. Like, whoa, my God. This is all child murder phrases.
I just
want to
go back to learn.
Strange.
Jeez, I want to go back to the part where we just call Steven a duck. Let's just do that. Let's go back to
simpler times.
Simpler times at level last one. Week.
Oh, I was just trying to learn how to pronounce fromage correctly. But apparently we're putting babies in bodies of water.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So speaking of
tangent
in the healthcare system.
Yeah.
And
so you're in this hospital and this bitch that broke your dick is just like, I'll marry you.
Flexing. So, I mean, you know, when you always had these, and I mean, again, I kind of, the shit always happens to me where like, I kind of, after a while, kind of take it in stride and I like, you know, like we deal with shit by laughing at it. And there was a moment where because I couldn't pee, that was like, anyone who's had some sort of like trauma, genital trauma or any sort of trauma,
any trauma,
if you can't pee, that's a big problem, because basically that puts a timer on how quickly they have to operate. And so I'm standing there, and you know, this is now 2:30 in the morning, and the doctor, you know, the attending doctor gives me this like red open gallon, and he's like, all right, can you try and pee? And I'm like, right now? He's like, yeah. And I just like stand up in my muumuu, and I just sling my tiny penis over into this can, and they're staring at me, and I'm like, can't do it. And it was like going to the bathroom at a urinal, like a public urinal on steroids. And after he leaves, he comes back, he's standing over me, and he's like, well, you know, because you can't pee, there might be some really extensive damage and you might not be able to, basically being like, you might not have a dick anymore. And I'm staring at him after cracking jokes, and like, and again, everything was funny to me. Like the nurse's name was Peter. Like everything that could be a dick joke was there for the taking.
You're just
and that was like the first moment where I was like, honestly giving a eulogy to my penis in my head. I was like, wow. And that was when the girl was like, also,
see ya.
Nice to see you.
I got work real early.
I gotta go. So yeah, I mean, then they ended up doing all these, you know, they did all these tests on me. And
what did they tell you? I mean, what did they tell you before they?
Well, they initially thought that it, you know, again, they thought it was a tear, and they thought that I could have had a fracture to my urethra. Now, mind you, the size of my penis actually became huge because it was swelling. And you know,
that's why she didn't leave. She was like,
she saw it and she was like, yo,
this.
Put that black and blue crowbar in me.
This thing is full of blood and urine
and throbbing. Perfect.
That's a delicacy in Ireland.
Yeah.
That's a blood sauce. It's actually
in the old country.
Yeah. Dick with some potatoes.
Yeah. So I mean, I went into surgery the following morning. And you know, they didn't know what was wrong, because they basically were like, we're not going to know until we open you up. So, you know, they put me under, I went to
which
surgery.
Is ironically what you said to that bitch that very night you broke your dick. I'm not going to know what's going to happen until you lay back, sister.
Hey lady, I'm going to put you under. So when they opened me up, that was when they basically took what I will righteously call the first dick pic I think has ever been sent to another doctor. And it was a urethra reconstruction specialist, of which there are literally a handful in the country. And one happened to have a practice down the street, only in New York, right? So he comes in, cancels everything, puts me back together. And honestly, like, again, worst possible scenario, best outcome. Like, sewed me back together. And there's so many things that can go wrong in that surgery. Because when they sew you back together, there's scar tissue. There's like basically realigning. So you can get this really painful curvature every time you get hard. It's called Peyronie's disease. And it's not like, but you basically, bend like little like Gonzo's nose, and it becomes extremely painful.
Oh man. Ooh.
So the doctor literally had to open up your penis and reconstruct your urethra.
Yeah. And you would think, or at least I thought, it would be like a fillet, right?
A
cut
dog.
Down a hot dog. But they actually made like a Frankenstein incision. Like a circumferential.
Yep, good.
A circle.
Job.
Yep.
Okay. Sound it out. Sound it out.
Don't worry.
You're among your people. We also can't read. It's fine.
And then peeled the skin up and down, so my scar literally looks like a Frankenstein scar.
Prove it.
Oh, I want to see your dick so bad.
Prove it.
I'm kidding. It's actually just a nub. It's just a nub now.
It's a thumb. His dick is just his thumb.
Prove it.
So I mean, that was, you know, that was kind of the hospital experience, which was crazy. Like when you go under and then you wake up and you have no idea what's happening. To be honest, I didn't even know what a fucking catheter was.
Yeah.
And when I woke up, I'm like, you know, you kind of survey your body and no one's there with you. And you're just sitting there waiting to wake up. And I got all these lump of bandages around, you know, I was like, well, what's like, I don't know what happened. And this Jamaican nurse comes in and she's like, you know, I mean, of course, everyone knows all the stories and they're kind of laughing and they don't really want to know. And then she literally starts emptying my catheter bag. And I'm like looking, I'm like, what is this lady doing? And then she proceeds to explain to me that this tube that I'm looking at in this bag is actually going into my penis. And that bag of liquid is my urine. And I was like, I am officially 75 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. How old were you at this time?
I was 75.
I just said, are you not listening?
Wendy, I know you're usually checked out.
Right.
When we record, he just said how old he was.
Yeah, I was 27.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Prime time.
So at what point, how many times had you considered suicide in between? Like, and I'm being serious.
That's the age to kill yourself,
that
by
is,
the way. Right. 27.
That's the age.
So.
Not at that. I think there's worse things that happen in life than that.
That was one of the things that I found remarkable about the book, because very clearly I'm not dealing with anything well. I'm immediately going dark.
Yeah.
The way you wrote seemed like you really kept a positive sense of humor about all of this.
Yeah. I mean, look, the truth is we've all been through shit, right? And I think that what we've been through tapers or adjusts how we go through with the next thing. And I think that like earlier in my life, I went through a lot of shit. So this almost felt like child's play.
Tell me about it. I took the train today. Did I ever mention that? I had to take the train today.
You didn't tell which train you took. And that's a big, like, which train you took. You're on the ACE, then you just, come on.
I took the M.
Oh.
From Brooklyn. Yeah.
I stand
for it. What a hero. Wow, Wendy.
The M really elicits that sound.
In my head, I was like, if you took the M, the Z, or the G, then I'll sympathize with you.
Thank you. I took the M. So see, now who doesn't have a urethra?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you did take the M and you got out into the
sisterhood.
Yeah.
You don't even need the urethra necklace with the cat charm. You just have to have your subway ticket.
Actually, you do. You do. Still
okay,
need
my bad. My
right.
bad.
You I haven't. Still met, need
I don't know.
The
I don't know the levels yet.
Urethra.
Right. Yeah. So I get it. I understand pain and loss. I took the train for the first time in over a year today. Oh, it was rough. Then I got in a cab. I was like, "How much cash do I have on me? Oh, hundreds of dollars." I'm just kidding.
Perfect. How far will this take me?
I know.
So what?
Not far enough because I ended up here. Keep going. Oh God.
What was the recovery process like? I mean, when you came out of surgery, like, what did they tell you? Like, is this a year of recovery? Is this therapy? Is it?
Yeah.
Do you rehab a dick? Like, what
yeah, you do. So
he lifted weights with this motherfucker.
So it's a work in progress. So I had a catheter in for it was supposed to be for 2 weeks. Ended up being a month.
Were you in the hospital whole time? What, like, how did this work?
No. So I was in the hospital for 3 days. And when I got out, I basically was home for 2 weeks. I mean, you're pretty bedridden. I mean, I basically, you're literally tethered to yourself, right? So, you know, every time I would take a step, it felt like someone was pulling on my penis in not a good way. Every time I'd go upstairs, every time, and like laughing, right? So like when you laugh, your whole body tenses up. Like, you don't think about it. But if someone would make me laugh, which is terrible because everyone's like, they want to make you feel better.
So when would be the best caretaker for this?
Yeah.
No laughing.
Because I'm not funny at all.
Not funny. You know, your whole body tenses up and your fucking dick gets tight around this tube and you're like, ugh. So
hello.
Yeah, kind of hot.
It's funny because you're getting turned on. I am like wincing. Yeah.
Well, that's because it's different. Because when a dick gets hard around something, it doesn't feel good. For a pussy, you got a dick in there,
and it gets hard.
And then you cough and you laugh and you
come at the same time. Oh, boy.
Why do you think I make so many
terrible... needs to excuse herself.
Yeah. Why do you think I make so many terrible puns that only I like? Because I'm walking around with them. The broken
She's got a severed dick in her pussy at all times.
It's a broken end of a wooden spoon handle just in there.
I like to sever a dick and just keep it inside and let it ruminate.
I have to go to the hospital.
Not now.
Why did I have the deep voice in that? Now we're in a fight. Keep going. So you're walking back around. You can't laugh.
Can't laugh.
Can't laugh. Bag of piss on your ankle.
It's real hot.
Living it up.
Yeah. Just swiping on Tinder left. Who wants to meet up? I had some great friends, my family, my mom and my brother came out to take care of me. And because that's basically what you have to have. And so I basically had it for 2 weeks. Then I went to the doctor. It didn't work. And they had to put it back in, still had the leak. Then my best friend got married, which I was the best man in. So I had to basically
hide. You had to give a best man speech.
Yeah. So I was hobbling with cane
piss on you,
basically, can't drink, can't obviously dance. And so it's always funny the story that you tell, the story that you tell people that you don't want to know and the story that you tell that you are your friends.
Right.
And so, and the
people that are your friends, you're like, this is a catheter. This is a bag of my piss. The people that you want to look cool. You're like, I got my own champagne.
Yeah. I can drink endlessly.
This is a pee. I'm not drinking yours. Cause this is high grade tequila.
It's a Franzia.
You can tell by the dense color of yellow. It's a mix of tequila and cocaine.
It's a Franzia Chardonnay. I just drink it from the back. Sure. Oh man.
So you go to this wedding.
So I go to the wedding.
What color was your suit?
It was a black tux, actually.
Did you put like a corsage on the bag of piss to like dress it up a little bit for the wedding?
It was my date. Come with me.
You put a wig on it and drew a little face. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, this is
Rebecca.
This is Lindsay. She's very shy. But once you get to know her, she'll open up.
She's full of piss and vinegar.
Hey, yo.
I love it. I love it. Thank you.
Once I actually got it out, then the recovery was another month or so before I could. Well, so then again, this is where the book comes in. It actually is a long story, but getting erections was not a given. So getting a boner was a big deal for me. In fact, probably my favorite chapter is the midnight boner. And that was the first time I got an erection because that wasn't a given. And I got one for the first time while I had my catheter in the middle of the night. And I woke up and I didn't know what was happening.
Just woke up like
I was
seething in pain.
I just had this like paralyzing pain. And so I grabbed my phone and I turned on the flashlight and I looked down and literally it's just like a bloody penis.
Because
my dick was trying to get hard, but there's a tube pulling it down.
Right.
So all this blood is coming out of it and I'm just like freaking out. So I start like trying to calm it down.
And you can't mentally get rid of a boner. No. Like that's fucking seventh grade Zen shit.
Anyone who's had a boner that's tried to get rid of it knows that it basically
makes
it worse. If you're like, how did I get this boner? I have to get rid of it. And then you start thinking about what gave you the boner. You're like, shit, now it's getting worse.
Yeah.
My mom and my brother are sleeping in the same room. So they start to wake up
and then you're even hornier.
You think that would help. You think that would help, but instead it just got more hard.
Yeah.
It's very, very grandma's
Mommy.
Boy.
Was it funny amongst your family? I mean, kind of once you got past the initial like,
did your mom wake up and start laughing when your dick was bleeding?
No, but I feel like when things are so bad, like when you have an injury that's so bad,
give a kiss.
Like sometimes all you can do is kind of.
Yeah, I think that the person who's going through the thing is the captain of the ship, right? Yeah. So if you're laughing, you're giving permission to other people to laugh, right? And that's true for the racial humor, like sex humor, anything where the person who's been through something gets to dictate who actually has the humor, right? And I mean, I'm assuming you're very much in the same position sometimes.
Right.
He's pointing to Wendy.
Yeah. So that is you have to respect that. And, with my mom, God bless her, her goal was to have grandchildren. So it wasn't funny to her quite yet. So I had
that's
to be
why
able
she's
to use
sleeping
it.
In a bed next to you with her tits out. Like, I'm going to get this kid's dick hard one way or another.
I'm going to make this happen. Habitual line crosser. I just
She's like, I'm having grandkids. She's just like, yeah. Oops.
I have to make them myself.
I don't think it works like that, but it sounds great. Luckily, my brother had a kid now, so that's not a concern. So if this happens again, she probably won't show up. She'll be like, well, I've already got my grandchild. Great. So,
okay.
But everyone else, I think.
So she'll just jerk you off for laughs.
Just at Thanksgiving.
Habitual.
To ease familial tension.
But yeah, look, I mean, anytime you're dealing with, I mean, look, you know, my best friend would be changing my pants, right? And my fucking dick's out. And I had like, I built a dick sling because I wanted to minimize the tugging.
What does one build a dick sling?
So I basically had these tidy whities that I cut a hole in and stuffed like a bunch of Kleenex to build like a platform for it to sit on. Because, you know, every time you step, it's basically pulling. So I wanted to minimize that. Yeah. And so as I'm, you know, when I was going to the airport to my best friend's wedding, my buddy looks at me and he's, you know, literally pulling my pants up and he just looks at me like eye level with my penis. And he's like, if you fucking ever say some shit. And of course, here I am writing a book about it.
Right.
But, you know, that's kind of, you laugh about it and you hope that your friends in these times, like, that they are there for you. I think that's people actually like to be there for you, which is a weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're like, my dick's not broken.
I expected something like, you know, like cancer or something. But this is what I have to show up for you. And I'm like, So, you know, it is funny. It is something that like when it comes to family, you know, family's a weird thing. At the end of the day, they're the only ones that are going to be there for you.
My mother put my first tampon in for me.
Yeah, there you go.
So there you go.
There you go. She might take your last one out too. You never know.
Oh God, God willing.
That's
what I want. That's my full circle.
I just pictured the next French level. It's like, mommy, pull my tampon out.
Yeah.
Like, what?
That's what I would want. That's every time I think of my mom, every time I put a tampon in or anything in my pussy, yeah. I think about
like,
my mom.
I got to call my mom.
Right now. No. Speakerphone.
Honey, hold on. Let me text.
It's the only way I can come. Or have a period. I have to be on the phone with my mom the whole time.
No, let it go to voicemail.
Just anything genitally, I need my mom involved.
Right. So what was so how long was the whole thing? So from
4 inches.
Thank God. See, look at this. We got, I love it. So it's the recovery process, like from your first, the midnight boner to now, can you have sex normally? Is it fully healed? What's the deal?
Yeah. You know, and
what I'm trying to find out, is it worth me even having a conversation with
you? Yeah,
great. I assume
this is actually all a setup.
I assume because you'd written a book, everything healed.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. And I think that I wouldn't be laughing about it if I couldn't.
If I didn't have a monster cock ready for it.
Are there communities of people that support?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, like, did you?
What's funny is now, everyone loves to share their horror stories with me. Like, and I mean, instantly. And a buddy, called me up. My buddy Danny's like hysteria, you know, like people don't call people nowadays. And so when someone calls you like, yo, some shit's happening.
Yeah.
Calls me like, dude, having sex with this girl. Bro, I'm just like, I'm having sex with her and you know, it's dark and we're in my place and I'm fucking her and she puts her hand down there. She's kind of jerking me off. And then like, you know, she puts her hand up and her hand's bleeding. And like, I started like feeling the sharp pain and I pull out and my dick's all bloody and I start screaming and she starts screaming. I run to the bathroom and I start thinking about you. And I'm like, oh shit, I need to call Ross. And I was like, she had basically cut with her nails into my penis.
Oh.
As she's fucking me, it was scratching. And of course, like, I'm not thinking about anything but having sex with her. And so his dick's super bloody. And so these are the things that people now call me and tell me.
Pretty much their best story.
Like, yeah. Like yeah. And also girls who have like, you know, broken someone's dick or done something that had a girlfriend tell me. She was like, yeah, you know, it was like a backseat of a van or something. And basically this guy's dick popped and, you know, but it wasn't like, I mean, it's all sliding scale severity.
Right.
Right. It sounds like your friends are not too bright. And a lot of your friends are going to die because of your heroic book. Because instead of calling 911,
Ross will help us.
You're getting your dick scratched open by some strange chick. And so
I've got a new hotline.
And now you're fucking a chick with an open wound on your dick. And you're like,
open wound.
I gotta tell Ross. Yeah. Someone cuts you open. Someone slices your body open and blood. You tell me AIDS can't get in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
I mean, Kevin
Smith actually had a really funny bit about that a zillion years ago, that he was like dry humping so hard that he was actually bleeding and he just wanted it so bad. Just men don't shut down. It takes a lot to,
well, you know, you're also not really looking down. I mean, it's not like we don't know how to check in. We're not in tune with our bodies.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, and also we're not looking down at you, you know, we're fucking, we're up thinking it's somebody else. So we're not looking at
We're not looking at you. Right. Ugh, gross.
We're not gross. You think
we're staring longingly into your eyes.
Right. We're looking at the wall. We're looking anywhere, but at your
thinking
gross
of my mom,
pussy.
Thinking of anything.
Yeah.
Anything other than the person I'm currently fucking.
Where are you supposed, like, where do you prefer that someone looks? Honestly.
At my face or at the actual, like, point of, like, fucking. Like, I like to look
At my pussy.
Yeah, I like looking at my pussy when I'm getting fucked. It's, because it's like, if I do that, I come so hard right away instantly. So I have to kind of, like, look away if I'm trying to not.
Because the same thing with Wendy. Wendy can't look at the man's face that's fucking her. She's like, oh, gross. Ugh, no, you should see that dick.
I need to look at my vagina.
Yeah, I want to look at my own pussy being fucked.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Oh, look, we made the boys shut up. Ha ha!
Ha ha! Yeah,
that took a lot longer than I thought it was going to.
I know. All we had to do was talk about a pussy. See, all this dick breaking, all these big talking, and then they got to.
Oh, no, I love talking about vagina. You can't have one without the other. I mean, you can, but it's.
I was going to say, actually, you totally can.
you're like, wait, Ross is like, hold on, you mean to tell me?
I mean, have you not had any horror stories? Like, you haven't ever had that moment where you thought something went awry?
No, I had one guy that was going down on me and he got a bloody nose while he was going down on me, but I just thought I was having my period.
He was nervous?
I don't know.
Were you coaching him?
No, I don't shave.
I got a bloody nose one time having sex when I was 15 and it was like so bad.
And did you stop?
Well, yeah, when we realized what was going on, the room was dark.
Oh,
wow.
So I like didn't, I was like, oh, what's, and then I was like, Jesus. And it was everywhere. Oh, it was so good.
Wow.
Really looked like a crime scene. Yeah, it was real gross.
I actually once, we talked about my shoulder that chronically dislocates. I have a shoulder that pops out a lot.
Yeah.
I dislocated my shoulder once giving head.
Wow.
Yeah. And I got up and I MacGyvered it back in. That's the only time I've gotten it back into
like
play.
Were you leaning on the hand?
I had my hands like up under her butt.
Okay.
Like that. And that's like I went too far up and my shoulder just popped out.
I like Megan looks physically grossed out at the thought of Steven's hands under somebody's butt.
Sorry.
Just like, just picture it. Like I'm picturing like a Renfield type, like with like a hunchback. Like
yeah.
Steven's shoulder popped out, like eating pussy. Just
That's always like the question. Like, what do you ask her to pop it back in?
Oh, it was bad. It was like, we need to go to the ER right now.
Shit.
It was like, when my shoulder pops out, it's like always, it's terrible.
But once it happens once, that shit keeps happening, right?
Yeah, it keeps. And that's the thing. It was like to the point where it kept happening and I needed to get surgery on it twice, but like, it just did not.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
Wait, you just decided not to get surgery on a thing?
No. It was just a matter of like, okay, when can I get the surgery and be knocked out? Because it's a 2-month recovery. You know what I mean? Like, when can you be working for that long?
We always put that shit off. We're like, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Have you had the surgery, Steven?
Twice. Yeah.
You might need a new
surgeon. Twice, because it didn't work the first time or because it's a multi-step process?
It worked the first time. It was good for 6 years. And then
You were giving head again.
No, I fell downstairs. I like tripped and fell downstairs.
I would love to have seen that.
Yeah, like an old ass person.
When did you trip down a flight of stairs?
I was working on a music video.
Steven's sober, by the way.
I am sober.
Exactly.
No, there's no excuse.
Dude,
honestly, it was all in my 20s. It was all dumb exhaustion shit. Yeah. I stayed up for like almost 2 days straight editing a video for a deadline and like was making myself nuts. And I fucking didn't sleep. And I went downstairs to like get my phone to crash for a day. And I just fucking, I slipped and I fell down the flight of stairs and I went to catch myself.
Oh no.
And that was.
Was it a fall forward or a fall?
Oh, it was like down.
Oh,
it was just like down dragging.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yep. Yeah, no. Many horrible shoulder dislocation stories.
Poor little guy.
So back to your broken dick.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was one of the reasons that I wanted to have this conversation because I think everyone, if you don't have a sex injury, you have had an injury, you have recovery. Yeah. I think your book, you kept an incredibly positive attitude about all of it, which.
So what kind of drugs did they give? Let's cut to the chase.
This is what Wendy wants to know.
What kind
about.
Of drugs did they give you to make you not kill yourself?
I actually like I don't know how to say this. Like, I didn't want to take a lot of drugs because I knew what could happen. So I almost dealt with a lot of the pain more so than you could have. But I mean, you know, they give you the normal painkillers, right? It's like all the
oxycodone, like all that stuff. Is, right. And they just fucking, they flush it down.
When he's going to start jerking off again. I was like, yeah, tell me about him.
Tell me how oxy.
Oh, yeah. And I got basically got that. And I got Cialis, which is the sister drug to Viagra.
Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. Again, yeah. I'm going to Turks and Caicos with an older gentleman. Some? I am familiar with Cialis.
I mean, it's crazy, right? Because on one end,
I have to take it.
Yeah, well,
I put the Cialis
to get hard to fuck.
I grind it. I grind it and shove it in my pussy.
Just rub it so that way when the penis
is that how it works?
Yeah, it's actually it's like a you need a what's
mortar
the,
and pestle.
Mortar and pestle. There it is.
Cheers! Yeah, look at really, that, yeah, Mr. Bake Shop. Shout out,
yeah,
Mr.
Bake Shop. Hit me up for
Ayo. So yeah, I mean, the doctor basically gave me all the Cialis afterwards because again, they didn't think I was going to get erection, so he was like, "Look, this is great. You know, take this in case, like, and if things aren't working out, like, it's okay to use." And
you're like, hold on, let me show you a picture of my mom. I think I'm all good on the
pill. I'm good. Thank you, though. Thank
you. Look at those cans.
So anyway, so yeah, those are my two drugs of choice. And of course, they give you antibiotics to, you know, kill all the penis fungi.
Boo, boring. You don't get high. Who cares?
Penis fungi. That's my favorite type of mushroom.
And what was crazy about the Cialis was like, people wanted to buy it off of me. I think I became an inadvertent
Isn't
drug.
Cialis pretty easy to get? Like, you just ask your doctor and then they're like, here.
Yeah, but it's really expensive. Oh. Like Viagra and any sort of like ED treatment is very expensive, because he just gave me samples. He's like, well, if you don't need it, like it's pretty expensive. So just take these samples, which was like super cool. And I will tell you, like, they are crazy when you take them. Like, you think of a quarter of a nipple and it's like, like you are full staff. So it's,
how often are you thinking of a quarter of a nipple?
Very
like
often.
Like a tiny little corner of a nipple.
Yeah, I subscribe to Southern Living, so that's about that.
I think especially when you're a man in your
20s. Yeah. And so I think that was a crazy thing, because Viagra, you know, you take it and you are just hard.
You have no choice.
You're just there. You're living with it. You take Cialis and it's basically like, it's like basically a day worth of thoughts. You're like, okay, you have a day to get hard if you want to. Once you do, show's over. We're doing this. And it's all blood flow, right? It just basically opens. I just picture like an old troll, like flipping a switch of where the blood's supposed to go.
That's a fun thing to think of when you're thinking about your dick getting hard. Yeah. An old troll.
Hey, all of us get turned on by different
just
things.
Just a fun troll.
Just a fun. He's a nice guy.
He's a party troll.
Great personality, you know?
He lives up in the balls.
Yeah. I guess it's.
Oh, the old ball troll.
I guess it's time to hit the switch.
Three riddles in order to gain access to the penis.
Checks his watch. Whoa, it's about that time.
So you're getting erections. So
these aren't pubes. This is a beard.
Are you having orgasms or are you just like literally getting erections and you're like, glad this is happening?
This works.
Cool.
For the first month, I basically wasn't allowed or wasn't advised to come. He's like, get erections, don't come.
This is kind of a forced meditation.
That wasn't a doctor, that was a dominatrix. I hate to tell you, that's called edging. Where you just like
stepped on my balls.
The doctor was, he brought me, there's a special nurse. She walked in, she's like, okay, take these pills. I need you to wear these black lace panties. Get hard, but don't come.
And she just stepped on my balls with her stilettos. Yeah. It was a weird
and follow
nurse.
Me on Instagram. What? So that was what I did. And then the first time, once I got the, you know, again, once it's so crazy, all the little things that have to be right. And we're talking like simple stuff like peeing. Like, so I had to get the green light that all of my systems were truly like the things I needed to survive weren't infected and stuff like that. And then the first time I orgasmed, like I almost am envious sometimes of a woman's orgasm. I felt like that was what a woman's orgasm would be like. That shit came from my feet and exploded. Like I hadn't, you know, it'd been like two, so it'd been a while.
How long had it been since you'd come?
I mean, probably like a couple months.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the recovery.
That's the worst thing Wendy's ever heard.
I know Wendy's,
by the way.
Wendy's really shocked. She's like, you broke your dick. You didn't come for two months.
My God. You're just worried taking a bag of piss as a date to a wedding. I'm get out of my pussy with that, fucking bitch.
I think
get
when
over
you're
yourself.
Worried about the functionality of being able to pee, like orgasming almost seems like a luxury at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, look, that's the truth, right? So for me, that first orgasm was like, I mean, it was a celebration. I was like, fuck yeah, I can do this. Because before that, I didn't know if I could pee. The first time I peed on my own, which was also hilarious, was also kind of like an orgasm because it was just muscle spasms.
Right.
I hadn't used my bladder for a month and a half. So I got the catheter out and I literally go into the bathroom after getting my x-rays in the urologist's office. And I'm just like staring at my penis being like, all right, buddy, it's time to do your thing. And it's not doing its thing. I was like, no, this is where I think, hey, body, pee, and you pee. And it wasn't happening. And then all of a sudden, like I'm peeing all over the entire bathroom because it was like when you turn a hose on full blast and it just So, you know, I mean, that was a lot of
the cartoonishness of that.
Yeah. I picture you run out in the middle of the street, like, just like It's a Beautiful Life, or just like you're running into like the corner store, like, hey, look it. Billy Bob, I can pee again. It's like running around with your dick out.
I was going to say, like there's 1950s New York children like playing in his stream of urine. Like it's a fire hydrant they broke open.
Those
only in better times. Yeah. So yeah, I mean that was like,
so you're pissing all over the place.
I'm pissing all over the place, coming all over the place.
good for you.
Good for you. It feels good sometimes. You know, sometimes you kind of let it go.
Yeah,
you act like you're in a hotel. You know, that's what I say.
Yeah,
celebrate.
And you know, then the first time I had sex again was about like 3.5 or so months later. And purposely didn't finish. Like I was like, let me just
did
dock.
They know? Did you
she did not know. She did not know.
I think it should have been with the same girl. I think just like, even if you never fucked again, I think it should have, you went in this journey together.
Come out of it.
Oh no. I think you are not able to mentally have sex with that girl again. Yeah. That's
it was more important to me to have like a really boring sex the first time around.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know,
so you found a real hag down the street.
Hey, lady.
Aww.
Let me get 12 donut holes. And what are you doing tonight?
You catcalled a female construction worker. Yeah, she was very excited.
She was very thrown off. I flipped it on her. She went into working construction. I was like, woo, hey, lady.
Her and her one leg came back to your apartment.
Right. And she charged you $400.
Hey, Peggy. But yeah, so I mean, it was all like a very gradual process. And I mean, look, even then, a year after that, and this sounds depressing, it was like kind of painful to have an erection because I had where the incisions were, like there's scar tissue. So there's like a little bump. And so while my urethra was readjusting to its new shape, like it was pulling on like the scar. So like when you just get a paper cut over your finger and every time you bend your finger, it's kind of opening a little bit.
Oh, I got a paper cut right here, baby. Yeah, I feel what you're doing.
Right to the second knuckle.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Yeah. I noticed you see the scars on my hands. I got these on the M train, yeah. So I'm not trying to.
G train.
They're already filled with AIDS. Right.
So yeah, so that was, and I mean, now it's much better. I mean, you know, I think that there's been, for better or worse, some loss of sensitivity, but also like there are things that just happen when you get old.
I think you're just lucky.
How old are you?
Lucky to have
32. 32 now.
He's so old. He's 32.
Yeah.
Wendy, that's very young for you.
Oh, it's too young for me. I won't make eye contact anymore.
Look, at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, look, I still got a big cock, ladies. I got a big dick, and it's a little bit less sensitive.
This is my number.
Lady, at the end of the day, here's my Instagram. Also, not only is it monster cock.
I'll be honest, I would much rather.
But I'm not that sensitive, so like I could fuck you even longer.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I would much rather. I've taken a new approach on sex. Now, if someone wants to have sex, I'm like, listen. Can you just buy my book? Because that's going to go a lot further for me in life. They're like, well, wait, just... No, I'm sorry. Sorry. So.
Oh, what a...
So if you want to...
Slime
if
ball? You have now sex, he's just like... No. When ladies are like, I want to fuck you. And he's like...
I wish that conversation happened. I wish that conversation
ladies
happened.
Like, I want to fuck you. And he's like, I'll see you at the Barnes & Noble.
See you at the Barnes & Noble. I think it's... what the poison of having this story and telling it is like... It does invite itself to like, oh, you're just trying to get laid. You get use this story to get laid. I'm like, no, I actually think that's kind of weird, to be honest.
Why did you write the book? I mean, why, you know, because this is an injury that you find is more common than people think. Once you start talking to people, it turns out when I'm having this conversation, I'm like, yeah, we're talking to this guy that broke his dick. Everyone has a friend of a friend of a friend that also broke their dick, sprained their dick, something.
That's like an urban legend, though. I feel like that's like my cousin's best friend's son's dog.
Yeah.
But what was the guy?
I think broken dicks are urban legends. Then the same way that, you know, bitch is talking about getting
raped.
Ross
is lying. This is all bullshit.
Rape's not real. The only reason, and don't tell me you didn't write a book about your dick to not get laid. You know the only reason I talk about when I got raped?
My name's not even Ross.
I only talk about when I got raped so I can get more laid. Dicks.
Wow. Because so like, more people rape me.
Yeah,
I'm like, when you were talking about it, I was like, damn, she's kind of fine right now.
Yeah, I know. I got raped. And then people go like, oh, she's really hot. I'm like, I got raped by two guys. Thank you. And I was like, even grosser looking. And because it's one, they know that like, oh, so she has a pussy. She's not actually just a man.
So that's, you mentioned rape and they're thinking about your pussy.
Right.
Which is a good start.
So you know that I have a pussy and I have a butthole because we went both places. And then also, not only will I give it up and I'm like, not a fighter, but also I'll probably like it if you're mean because it's all the regressive memories. And don't tell me I'm on to you.
Wow.
I'm on to you.
We are next level with this gems. Wow.
We'll see you cucks at the Barnes and Noble.
I mean, to answer your question, the reason, I mean, look, we all have stories to tell to a certain aspect. And I mean, I didn't think this was going to be my story to tell, but for me, like, I mean, like you guys, I'd like to make people laugh, and like, you have to laugh. Like, life can be fucking shitty and you have to laugh about it. And I think that giving other people freedom, especially just talking about sexuality, like, life is about expectations, right? And we're fucking weird, especially in the bedroom. And a lot of this stuff is like, if you just talk about it, I think it becomes a lot easier. Like, just, I mean, sex, like, good sex is communication for me. So even this is as fucking weird as it is, it's become a really cool conversation starter. It's a cool way for people to laugh. The most conservative fucking people I know, like, that have read it or at least just know that it's happened, have been able to like level out with me. And yo, dicks are bipartisan. Like, in a fucking time right now, shit, people just fucking need to laugh. And so that to me has been a really like cool thing. I was like, you know what? If this is what it is, fuck it, man. Let's do it. And as I told the story, and I had originally kind of like put it down on paper, just because I have a really shitty memory. So I just kind of started writing things down and I would tell the story and people would laugh. I was like, you know what, man? Like, if we're going to laugh at my pain, if that's the thing that makes people laugh, fuck it, man. I'll put it out there. So, I mean, it's been fun. Like, it truly has.
I feel like you're missing a merch opportunity here. If you don't make underwear that says dicks are bipartisan, you're really missing
that's
out.
That's going to be my platform, actually. That's going
to
be the dick party.
No, it needs to be the whole sentence. Yo. Dicks are bipartisan.
Dicks are bipartisan.
Dicks are bipartisan.
You have yo on the butt.
Well, that is a fantastic note to end on. Right. When's the book out?
The book is in pre-sale on Amazon right now. And it's Broken Banana. Banana has an H at the end, .com. We're doing a launch on April 18th.
Why is there an H at the end? Hold on. Full stop. Hard
stop. Is
that
some Duolingo bullshit?
Duolingo.
You gotta read the book for that one. It'll make sense when you read the book. I have to say, I read the book. It's a great story. He puts a lot of heart into it. I'll vouch for it.
Thank you.
Come out with an audiobook and me and Wendy.
I've got an audiobook.
He's got an audiobook.
Boom.
Oh, there we go.
Boom.
Good, Wendy. We don't have to think.
So everything,
thank God.
Everything is out April 18th, which is National Banana Day, ironically. Definitely didn't plan that. But it's super important.
I think he did plan it.
Cunning. And so it's super important in the pre-sales because Amazon, especially when you're self-publishing, like, algorithm bullshit. So I'm basically spending this month and trying to do what most people hate doing, which is promote what you've made.
Yeah.
And then it'll be out. So yeah.
So we're going to go buy it. We're going to put links up. We'll have links up in the episode description. And where else do you want? Do you have, like, social media, Twitter?
Yeah,
what kind of stuff?
Plug your shit.
Since you can't plug a pussy, you know what I'm saying? You're banging around in tanks and nonsense.
Just getting hand jobs in China. No, the best thing is brokenbanana.com, you know, with the H. And I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm not like whoring myself out. There's a Facebook page with all of 26 followers that I just created. And
let's make it 27.
27.
Did you say we're getting hand jobs in China?
I didn't say that.
I thought you said hand jobs in China.
I most certainly would not say that.
You did.
I'm pretty sure you did.
You said I'm getting hand jobs in China, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, what kind of weird.
This is becoming a very accusatory.
That was a very strange analogy.
I heard it, right? I also heard it, and I was like, hand jobs in China? From what? I'm getting hand jobs in China from babies down by the river.
Did you say that?
I didn't say that. From dead babies, just getting jerked off by all these dead babies.
Baby, late at night, when the evening comes, I sit down to check my options, there are none. First thing I think about is your lovely smile and all the things that drive.
Everything.
What?